Well, I appreciate the invitation from the pastor to get a chance to share a message with you here this evening. And it's always interesting. I used to always love Wednesday night services at our church. Now, that was one of the harder services to get ready for, but it always seemed like it gave us just plenty of time to study the Word. And I just love the spirit, love the atmosphere on Wednesday night. So appreciate you all being here. And I want us to look at one verse from the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and then we're going to apply this to not only our own lives, but somebody that should be very familiar with us. Now, Paul gave us the book of Romans. He was writing unto the beloved church in Rome, and so much good guidance and wisdom and inspiration that's here. And in the 8th chapter, the 28th verse, he wrote this to this precious people that he loved most abundantly. In Romans 8:28, he said, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And would you pray with me this evening? And Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here this evening. God, I don't take it lightly that you've given me the opportunity to open your word and, Lord, to bring forward a thought that you've put on my heart. Lord, I look at the faces of people. They look back, and, Lord, we kind of see what's on the outside. But God, you see what's on the inside. And there's a reason for this message here tonight, as simple and as, Lord, as basic as it may be. I know that you can take it and use it and bless somebody with it. And it would be an encouragement. Lord, maybe it would be a challenge to others. And Lord, we just know that you, through the Holy Spirit, just do great things in our lives. You take, Lord, what's planted and you grow it and Lord, bring it to the fullness of the plan that you have for it. And God, I pray that you'll do exactly that with this simple message this evening. And these things we ask in your blessed name. Amen. Now, we hear this this verse quoted all the time. We know that all things work together for good, to the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And you most often hear this quoted when someone's in a difficult situation. It's one of those things that you go to as a verse that you hope will bring encouragement and will bring peace and comfort to someone, particularly a close friend who maybe is going through a difficult time. But while Paul wrote this, and we often apply it to the difficult things of life, I think he really meant that when we know that all things, good things, bad things, all things that God brings us into contact with can have a purpose in our life, and they can bring about good. Now, the problem is we're much more encouraged and we're much more excited about the good things that God does in our life. We love it when the Lord brings us to a place where he blesses us and we recognize his hand and we recognize his abundance. But the problem with life is life brings good things and life brings difficult things. And I believe that in our lives, sometimes we do so much for God that is a witness to his saving power and his goodness and his grace when we go through the difficult things of life. I guarantee you, if you love the Lord Jesus and you call upon his name and you call yourself a born-again Christian, there are people watching you and they're looking at what happens in your life, particularly during the difficult days. They want to see if the faith that carries you to church on Sunday morning and the faith that you'll testify about in the good times is also the faith that will carry you confidently through the bad times. So Paul wrote and he said, we know that all things work together for good. And I want to look at four simple things here this evening from this verse, and I want to apply them to a man that we would recognize from the Old Testament. Now, first of all, I want us to look at this, the beginning of this. We know that all things work together for good. When we think about all things, I thought about breaking that into three different categories. First of all, there are things that we're going to experience in life that are beyond our control. Some of those are good things. We ought to thank God for that. But the fact of the matter is, there's going to be bad things that happen to us in life. We spent a lot of time this evening talking about our friend Brother Brian. The pastor came to me and we were talking about his situation. And I made the comment, Brother Brian's healthy. And, I've kidded several times and we've joked about it very, very positively that he was so careful in his diet. I mean, he was very particular, Pastor, about running and exercising and eating the things that were well for him. And yet this bad thing has happened in his life. His body has reacted in a way that is going to have to be treated, have to be dealt with. So we look at things that are beyond our control. I think about the folks I know who have had a very difficult situation in life. I've mentioned my mother who died from Lou Gehrig's disease from the time that she was diagnosed to the time that the Lord took her home was about 9 months. And the very difficult circumstances, if you know that illness, about how terrible that is. So all things include things that are beyond our control. And then I look at the world around us, and there are things that originate from our choices. And sometimes, Brother Wayne, those are good things. But so often you talk about the men that you visit in jail, and they've made bad choices in life. They have created circumstances where they were caught up and they were held accountable for the choices that they'd made. And we look at our life and we think about the things that happened to us and how many of those we bring upon ourselves. And then I thought about the divine things that God brings upon us that lead us and guide us and direct us and help to shape us and make us in the way that we should be. And I was talking with some of the folks in our Sure Foundations class this past Sunday morning, and we were talking about some of the little children that are there. And it's amazing, Pastor, to look upon their life. And, you know, even when they're really small, you can begin to see probably what they're going to become in life. They've got a very rich personality. They're very, very engaging, or they're very shy, or they're very strong-willed. And God creates us in a way that I believe it carries us through life. And he puts divine things in our way and in our purpose that we might become what he would have us to be. And I want to apply these things tonight, this aspect of all things working together for good, and the aspect of things beyond our control, things originating from our choices and things that are divine. And I want us to look at a young man named Joseph who's mentioned in the book of Genesis. Now, we often think about Joseph, and what do we think about him? We think about him as he ruled over the nation of Egypt, and we think about the difficulty that he had with Potiphar's wife, and we think about the imprisonment and the interpreting of dreams. But here was a man who was a beloved son of his parents. The Bible tells us that, in fact, he was so well thought of that he didn't really have much of a filter on what he said. And he brought a lot of animosity between he and his brothers. And I'm sure that when he was younger, when he was 15, 16, the Bible calls him out as 17 years old, when his life changed dramatically, he probably didn't think about all the things that he would encounter in his life. Things that were beyond his control. Things that originated from his own choices. And things that were divine. Now, we know that Joseph was a man who had aspirations. He was a dreamer, as it was. And the Bible tells us that there was a day when his father came to him, and his older brothers were out in the fields, and they were keeping the flocks, as it were. And his dad came to him and said, "Why don't you go check on him? Why don't you go bring me a report?" And the Bible tells us that Joseph ventured off on that journey. And we began to think about the thing of all things. And I want to read a couple of verses to you in the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. And I want you to look at how I believe that God divinely set in order the very beginning of the things that would become the essence of Joseph's life. In the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse, it says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said, Here am I. And he said unto him, Go, I pray thee, and see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem." Now look at verse 15 of chapter 37. It says, "And a certain man found him. And behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou? And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed thy flocks. And the man said, They are departed hence, for I heard them say, Let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren, and he found them in Dothan." Now, there's no account given here of who this man was. The Bible says he was a certain man. But, Pastor, I wonder about the divine nature of this. His dad had sent him out with a purpose. His dad didn't know when he sent him on that journey it would be the last time he would ever see his son, until many years later when they would meet again in Egypt. But there was this situation where he was looking for him, and I wonder how many times that through the years to come, as Joseph was imprisoned, as Joseph was sold into slavery, as he was in the pit just after this, that Joseph looked and said, "What if I'd not met that man in that field?" I would have went home. I would have been in my dad's house, you know, that evening, and I would have been sheltered from all this. So you see, that's the problem with life, is we run into things that we think are always bad, and yet God may have a very divine purpose from it. Do you know that in our life, He will get glory even from our suffering? Now, sometimes we don't like to suffer, and that's the absolute truth. And one day, we can take that up with Adam, who through his sin brought a curse upon this earth, and until that point, there was no suffering. But folks, I'm going to tell you that sometimes God will put a man in a field, and He'll ask, "Who is it that thou seeks?" And He will direct you in a way that it may actually lead to some trouble in your life. But the end result of that may be a situation where you can serve God, where you can meet people you wouldn't have met otherwise. It will push you out of your comfort zone. And I think as we get ready for the Go Reach America, and we really ought to call it Go Reach Tri-Cities, but certainly Go Reach America, that we will be placed in a position where we're going to divinely encounter some people, and God is going to use that encounter to bring great things from it. It's very easy for us sometimes as the church to stay very comfortably within the church. That's the truth, inside these walls. But you know, God called us to come here to worship and to pray and to participate and to be an encouragement one to another. Just as Joseph was very comfortable within his father's house, but his father sent him out into the field. And what he didn't find exactly what he was looking for, there was a man who sent him further down the road. And the outcome of that was a terrible situation for Joseph initially, but God took him to the place where he ought to be. Sometimes we got to say all things do work together, and we got to kind of get out of the father's tent and go out into the field to find what He really has for us. The second thing I would call out in Romans 8:28 is, it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." Now, Joseph loved God. I believe he loved his fathers. I believe he loved his brothers. I believe he loved his family. He loved his lineage. You know, he was the son of Jacob, and he had such a great heritage of people that loved God. And I believe that Joseph loved God. Even though difficult things happened to him in life, he never turned his back on God. That's the truth. Even to the recording of the end of Joseph's life in the book of Genesis, he loved the Lord, and he had faith. He had faith to the point where the book of Hebrews even called out his faith. Hebrews 11:22, it says, by faith Joseph, when he died, he made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. You're going to run into situations, you're going to run into things, you're going to run into difficult circumstances. You don't want to be there. But you must never turn your back upon the Savior who died upon the cross of Calvary. I would ask you this question with the greatest of confidence. Is there anything too great for God? There's not. So why is it so many times we come to the places we don't want to be and we think that God is hurting us in some fashion? When the fact of the matter is, He may have a great purpose that's there. That all of these things, the good things, the bad things, the things divinely inspired, the things originating from our choices, the things that are even beyond our control, work together for good to them that love God. The Bible tells us that Joseph had a very cyclical relationship there in Egypt. He was brought as a slave, and he did well. And then he was falsely accused, and he was imprisoned. And then he rose from that, and it was up and down. And this young man must have seen many things that were discouraging to him. And there was a day when he had his opportunity, Pastor, to get away from all of this. The Bible says there was a dream, and there was a sense of urgency, and the tale of Joseph went, and the love that he had for God, and the blessings that God had put upon him went before him, as it were, as his testimony, his legacy. And in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter, the Bible says that Joseph was called before Pharaoh. Now, I want to point this out, that a lot of times we look at the Word of God, and please don't take this the wrong way, but we get these pictures in our mind that I used to call them flannel graphs. And these are, you know, kind of cardboard people, and they're up here, and it's some artist interpretation, and it's kind of two-dimensional. Well, I tell you that the Word of God is filled with amazing accounts of God's love and of His revelation of Himself and His interaction with man. And Joseph was a particular example of that. The Bible tells us that God never turned His back on Joseph, and God always loved Joseph. And there was the day when he was called before the Pharaoh, and he was given the chance to basically redeem himself, to elevate himself. And the seriousness of that cannot be overestimated. If Joseph would have acted in a certain fashion, he could have easily been executed on the spot. He could have been put in a worse prison than he was. He could have been dealt with in a very difficult way. But in Genesis 41:15, it says, "And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it." Now look at Joseph's response back. Here was his chance to get out of prison. Here was his chance to rise up and become someone. And Joseph answered Pharaoh and said, "It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." And if you look at that interaction between Joseph and Pharaoh, there were three times where Joseph said to Pharaoh, "God's going to do this for you." He loved God, and he knew enough to recognize that God was able to deliver and that God was going to deal with this circumstance that was beyond his control. All things had brought him to this point where he was standing literally in front of what would probably be the most influential, important person on the face of the earth at that time. And Joseph testified of the goodness of God. I've run into something recently, and I got to tell you, quite frankly, I love it. Brother Wayne, a lot of times I'll go in restaurants, and I was going by one yesterday and just picking up some food for breakfast. And the lady opened the window, and I said, "How are you doing today?" She said, "I am blessed." And we had an opportunity to talk about how good God is to us. She was standing in there doing her job, and it didn't bother her at all. It didn't bother me, Brother Ralph, to say God's good all the time. He's given us this great opportunity, this great day that we might participate in. Our love for God ought to manifest itself as we walk through life. That's the truth. We ought to be able to love our neighbor. We ought to be able to be kind. We ought to be able to forgive. We ought to be able to testify of the goodness of God. Joseph stood before Pharaoh and he said, "Pharaoh, it's not in me." He didn't take credit for what God had done for through his life and what have you, his interpretation of dreams. But he said that God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Pharaoh was in a difficult circumstance, Pastor. He had all the money he wanted. He had all the power he wanted. He could say whatever he wanted and people would be obedient unto his will. But you see, the problem is he didn't have any peace. God had worked all things together that he would bring Joseph before him and that Pharaoh would find peace in what God would give him through that testimony. And he really did. The Bible tells us that after this meeting, that Pharaoh basically turned everything over to Joseph. And I think he went and did whatever Pharaohs do when they have peace. And he let Joseph run everything. So, Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose. The third thing I would tell you here this morning is that we have a calling. To them that are called according to his purpose. I believe everybody here has a calling. I really do. Now, the callings are going to be different. And I think that God is very wise in that he matches us up with, our calling, as it were. He doesn't ask us for things that we can't do. Doesn't ask us for the impossible. He gives us the ability, the character, the faith, the training, the background, as it were, to go and serve him. You know, you've heard it said so many times that God doesn't call those who are particularly qualified, but he will call those that will serve him, that will be obedient to him. I think it's amazing that he called out this young man. He would have been 17 years old at the time that all of this began. And he was sold out by his brothers. And he overheard his brothers as they literally discussed, "We will kill him. We will destroy him. We will take him off the face of the earth." I wonder, Pastor, if while he was in that pit, if he didn't think it was a joke in some fashion. I mean, you know, I'm just a kid. Surely they're not going to kill me. These men were older. They were supposed to be wiser. They should have had some wisdom, some discretion about him. And finally, the best plan that they could come up with was to sell him into slavery. I wonder, Brother Ralph, as they pulled him out of that pit and he stood there and the chains were put upon him and he began to be led away over the hill. If he didn't think, well, they're going to come and get me. You know, this is just a joke. They're just trying to scare me. But you see, they took it further than Joseph thought they would. What they didn't understand is that his calling was being put into motion. This young man was called to act in a very specific, a very certain way. He was the one who was going to go as a forerunner into this most powerful nation. And he was going to plow a path, as it were, that his family might follow behind him some decades later and might be blessed by the calling that he had upon his life. I look around the church and I thank God for particularly a church like this where so many have answered their calling. And we think about the diversity of callings. I look back here and I see Brother Richard and Brother Jim, and I know that at some point, Pastor, if it all goes well, this message will be on the internet. I don't know who will hear it in the years to come. Maybe it'll be a blessing to someone who's undergoing some difficult circumstance, and they can't see the good that God can bring even from a difficult circumstance. Look back here and I see Miss Danita, and I think about all of the effort that goes into transforming the church in December and the hundreds of people that come and get a blessing from the Christmas program. Miss Danita, there's a lot of people that come. They may not come to anything else that year, but they'll come to church that evening, Pastor, and they'll hear the gospel message presented to them. I think about, we were talking about Brother Arnold and the work that's done to put together the bulletin and the work to keep the property up and the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching among the Sunday schools. The dealing with the finances and the singing of songs and so many things. And we take for granted so many times what God has called us to do. He's given us a purpose. He's given us a calling just like he did Joseph. I believe that if we would really get behind our calling, we could be transformational in the world around us today. I think that a lot of folks, they may not like the calling that God's put upon their heart. But I do believe that most people understand to an executable condition what it is that God's called you to do. Or to say that differently, we know what God wants us to do. Sometimes we just don't want to do it. We think it's something different than what we want to do ourselves. Joseph may not have wanted to be there, but God put a calling upon his life. And he put the men and the circumstances in his way to take him through the situations until he could bring about the good that God had expected from these difficult circumstances. The fourth thing I would call to your attention this evening, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. The Bible tells us that Joseph's life was the focus, as it were, for quite a bit of the book of Genesis. 30% or so of the books of Genesis, if you look at the volume of it, focused upon Joseph, what had happened to him, how God worked with him, the famines that came, the children of Israel coming to him, the reconciliation with his family, as it were. You see, there was a purpose in everything that happened to Joseph. And the Bible tells us that there was a day when Joseph's family was very concerned about how Joseph might be able to act towards them when his father died. They sent word saying, forgive us. And there was the effort to make reconciliation. And I love this, Pastor, that Joseph looked at their situation and had kindness upon them. He recognized that all things had worked together for good in his life. The days that he was in prison, the days that he thought about, I met the man in the field, and if I wouldn't have met the man in the field, I would have just went home. I would have missed all this. I think he looked back at the end of the situation, Pastor, and he saw the good that God had done. Now, if you spend any time around me, you'll sometimes hear me say this statement. We must see the end of the thing. People will say, well, this circumstance is going on, and sometimes in business, you know, we're trying to work something out, and it's falling apart, or there's a difficulty. And the pastor, I'll tell him, you've got to see it to the end. Joseph came to the end, and his family came back to him, and they asked for forgiveness, and there were certain statements made. And in the book of Genesis, the 50th chapter, just before Joseph's death was recorded, the Bible says that Joseph spoke to his brothers. He said unto them, Genesis 50:19, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Brother Wayne, you'll never know on this earth how many people get touched with the gospel message, how many lives could be changed because you and men like you go to the jails very faithfully. Brother Michael, you're in here this evening. You're usually out with the Wednesday night warriors. You'll never know on the face of this earth how many souls, how many lives that you and this band ministry and all these in here might touch because you did what was sometimes difficult. You went and you followed God. Joseph looked at this place. He said, hey, I'm in the place that God's brought me. He had come to the end of the situation and he was comfortable with his life. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here. By the way, in heaven one day, you can meet Joseph. You can ask him for yourself. But I believe that Joseph still would have been praising God if he wouldn't have become the second to Pharaoh in all of Egypt. I think he would have looked and said, the God of my fathers has been good to me. And I think that's the attitude that it takes. But there is a purpose. What is it that God's called us for in the church? To present the gospel message that people might be saved, they might have eternal life, to be the witness of God's word and to present the living Christ unto a dying world. So simple are God's purposes here in this life. But so many times we get caught up in the circumstances, things beyond our control, things originating from our choices, even things divine. And we forget that God's purpose doesn't change. He wants a living soul to accept the forgiveness of Christ and have eternity in forever. Eternity in glory in his presence for the end of time. I think that his purpose is sometimes complicated. We look at what God wants us to do and we begin to think about how he worked in the life of Joseph. The natural life of Joseph and the circumstances that God brought. And as I began to look at this, Pastor, I thought about two other men named Joseph that God used mightily. Now, God used this man, Joseph the dreamer, Joseph the son of Jacob, and he used him to prepare a place where the children of Israel would be protected. The finest army in all the world was the Egyptian army. And when Joseph, in his position, was able to talk to the Pharaoh, they gave him a special place and they gave him an occupation and they gave him a place where for 400 years they might nurture and they might thrive and they might grow. Joseph the dreamer, he was called with a purpose to prepare a protected environment for Israel where they might thrive. I thought about another man. Some millennium later, and the man was named Joseph, and he was the husband of a woman named Mary. And God had called him out, Pastor, that he might go through some very difficult circumstances, that he might become the role model, the father figure, as it were, to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was trusted, Joseph, the husband of Mary, to nurture, to protect Christ, even to the point where they had to flee into Egypt to escape the wrath of Pharaoh, of Herod. And I think about how God had used him and had called him out. And I think about a third Joseph whose name was Joseph of Arimathea. And he was personally chosen to prepare the body of the crucified Christ for resurrection. Now, there's nothing special about the name Joseph. But I'm telling you that sometimes God works through all the circumstances of life to bring about good for his divine purpose. Joseph, the husband of Mary, was going to be an influence to his son, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He would treat him as a son. He would teach him the skills of carpentry. I think he was very patient and very kind. The man Joseph of Arimathea, the Bible says that he was a good counselor. He was a man who had great wealth. He had already prepared a grave for himself so that when God brought about the crucifixion of Christ, everything was in place that he might have that borrowed tomb just for a few days. And we began to think about how we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that called according to his purpose. The Bible tells us the story of Joseph in great detail. And then it goes on and it tells us a few things through the writer of the book of Hebrews about Joseph, just to add to that. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him," to please God. "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." You see, we're going to walk by faith through this earth. We're going to believe good days, bad days, days that we hope to never forget because of the blessings, and days that we hope never to remember because of the curses that come. We're going to have them all the same. But we're going to walk through it in faith. I think that God has been so good to us. And I know that, Pastor, you know, I through the years we've worked with so many, that people can get so discouraged. Amen? We can get so discouraged. Things happen to us and we think, how is this possible? But I want to finish this evening and I'll step down just in a second. But yeah, I want us to go back to the book of Romans, the 8th chapter. I want us to look at this letter of love that was written through the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of God. Every word is perfect. Every word is divinely inspired. And Paul was writing to this church, and he was trying to help them as they went through very difficult circumstances. And Romans 8, and beginning at the 28th verse, look at what Paul wrote to them. They were under persecution. They were under difficult circumstances. And Paul wrote this in its entirety. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And we go on through here for the sake of time. And verse 31, it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who shall be against us?" And it goes on down, and in verse 33 it says, "Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us." Now I want you to think about verses 35 through 39 as I read them here, and think about how all things work together to good for those that love God. Paul wrote this. He said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us." Look at Paul's testimony. "I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Folks, I'm telling you that young Joseph, sold into slavery at 17 years of age, going to go through the next 13 years, as it were, before he stands before Pharaoh, he understood these words. The peril, the persecution, the sword, the false witnesses that came against him. And yet, when he stood before Pharaoh, he said, "Pharaoh, it is not in me, it is God that shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace." He saw that all things work together. The good things, the bad things, in its entirety. You see, that's what you get when you have a God who loves you. You get all of it, all bundled up right here on earth. He's going to walk through us every day. Walk with us every day as we go through the most difficult of circumstances. Folks, I'd like to say this, and I'll close in prayer and turn it back over to the pastor this evening. I appreciate the testimony of so many folks that are here. And so easy on Wednesday night to look back on the congregation and think, wow, everybody's here on a Wednesday night. You must love God. You must know Him as your Savior. You must want to be here. Your life is probably perfect. But yet, that's not always the way it is. And I would tell you here this evening, appreciate everybody being here, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the first thing you need to get done. The Bible said all things work together, those that love God. And the Word of God works in the life of the believer, those who in very simple childlike faith would call upon a crucified Christ and ask Him to cleanse us from our sins through His blood sacrifice. Then to walk with Him according to His Word, and to line up and to be committed, and to say, no matter what this earth brings, no matter what difficult circumstances it has, I'm going to love God and be what He would have me to be with every fiber of my body. Would you pray with me this evening? Lord, I thank You for the privilege to stand here this evening, Lord, to bring this very simple thought about how You are with us in all things, good things, bad things, best things, worst things. Lord, that You've got a purpose for us, that we might go into this world, that we might be a testimony to these that are around us. God, we ask You to have Your hand upon this congregation. Give us boldness, give us faith, give us confidence, Lord. Help us to fulfill our calling, and Lord, to follow You in the strength that You provide. Lord, that we might be great soul winners, that we might be great world changers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we love You, and we should never get tired of saying those words, that God, we just thank You for all that You've done. Refresh us in our spirit. Lord, give us a divine purpose and Lord, a burden that we might not rest until we followed You. These things, Lord, we ask in Your blessed name. Amen.